Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. You are listening to Shell's 3 Cents, and I am Michelle Murray, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in today. You know, I usually start every single segment with what's going on in the news, what's going on in LA, what's going on in the country. There's just so much overwhelming stuff going on. Just know it's a hot mess out there. Pay attention to the news, and it's a hot mess today. But I do want you to take special note of two things. I'm going to leave you with this as far as the news today. Facebook just got hit with a $5 billion fine. They've also been forced to create a privacy oversight board. And this fine is coming from the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. And they've been going back and forth. This has been in the works for a while. But the agreement with the government, it doesn't include any major changes that you or I will notice or to advertising or anything like that. But behind the scenes, it is going to target their privacy practices, how they can sell our data, when they can sell it, and quite frankly, how much spying on us that they can do and screening our comments and thoughts, whether it be conservative or liberal or whatever. You know, they have admitted to some of that going on. So that'll be an interesting story to follow and see how that plays out for those of you who use that social media platform. And then for my fellow Los Angelinos, keep an eye on all this earthquake news. We've had a little over 80,000 aftershocks from the most recent earthquake. It's only going to get worse. It's not a matter of if a large-scale earthquake happens. No, it's when. It's definitely going to happen. Mayor Garcetti has some great information on his website, lamayor.org, lamayor.org. You can even volunteer. My son and I volunteer on one of his CERT teams. And that's a great way to stay informed and help out in your community for people who may not have the means or resources to help themselves in a situation like that. And with that being said, make sure you have your go bag together. You know, make sure you have your stuff where you can get out and evacuate quickly if you need to, and you're not going to have to run back into somewhere to find your important documents or to get a change of clothes or to have bottled water. Because especially those of you who were alive and experienced that big one in 94, you know what happens when the power grid goes out. And now that the world is internet dependent, it might seem even more traumatic to some of us. So I encourage you, keep up with Mayor Garcetti's Facebook page because he puts out wonderful information. He gives lots of warning. There's no reason for any of us to get stuck in Los Angeles and not know an earthquake was coming, because if you monitor that, you will definitely stay in the loop. So stay safe, everybody, so we can spend more time together on the airwaves, you know, and doing great stuff. And so speaking of great stuff, today I'm going to interview someone from my hometown, and we've spoken to him before. His name is Wesley Lawrence. And Wesley founded an organization called Save El Paso, among many other things that Wesley does. Wesley's an Eagle Scout, and, you know, he's a philanthropist of sorts. He's a volunteer of sorts. He wears so many hats, but he started this group called Save El Paso, which is really a small grassroots organization. And at the crux of his foundation of that organization, it's his belief in responsible government. He believes that government needs to be honest and transparent and financially sound, right? He wants you and me and all the people to be able to have a louder voice in our governance, right? And he wants to see his hometown, El Paso, and as well as America, be strong and successful for all the future generations that are going to come after us. So Wesley's kind of a neat person to talk to. So Wesley, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, absolutely. It's an honor.
Absolutely. No, it's an honor to speak to you. One of the things that impresses me about you, Wesley, is so many young people, and I can say that because I'm an old people, so many young people your age are guided by self-interest. They're selfish. They really are. They don't know what selfless means. Many don't serve because they don't want to. It causes them to get out of their comfort zone and think about somebody besides themselves. But you you're the polar opposite of all that, and I admire that and I respect that, because you're truly leading by example. You live life by example. You know, people can look at Wesley and say, you know, I aspire to be like that. You know, you're a great person. You do so many things. Do you have any activities or anything coming up you want to tell everybody about before I start interrogating you?
Well, you know, yesterday was just a great day for El Paso. We were put on the national spotlight just for a little bit. Yesterday I attended an event. It was called the Creatives for the Count, and they'll be coming back to El Paso, mm-hmm. but in essence, it was for the census that's happening in 2020. You know, you mentioned that young people are coming out in droves to really
mm-hmm.
influence the political scene these days. And yes, there was a lot of liberals there. I tend to be more on the conservative side. But the neat thing was mm-hmm. we all got together. We all came up with pieces on how the nation can spread information about the census. You know, we always hear that people are mm-hmm. scared to come out of the shadows in regards to the census, that if they answer the census, that either they'll get deported by ICE or their family members will.
Mm-hmm.
And we really worked on a good program to make sure people understand that if you answer the census, you will not get deported by ICE. You will not be the target of Homeland Security or Border Patrol. So it was really great. There was a lot of great people there. County Judge Salmaniego was there. County Commissioner Stout.
Mm-hmm.
City Council members, Claudia Ordaz-Perez and Isabel Salcido. We're all there, and it was pretty good. I met some neat people. I met the PIO from Socorro, the mayor of Vinton. So it was really great to see people coming together to really try to get this census done. They were a little excited that the citizenship question more than likely will not be on the census. To be honest, I don't know how to feel about that. I think that it's important that we do have a count of who here is a citizen. But I would like to see mm-hmm. another box added if we do have the citizenship question, and it would be, are you working on getting your citizenship? Because I think that's important. You know, I have a lot of friends here that are dreamers. I have some friends here that are on green cards, and I have some friends here that are working on their citizenship. I have to say I mm-hmm. do admire the dreamers. They're great people. I think that the federal government needs to work on fixing them before we go any further in this immigration debacle that we're currently in. But it's an important thing to watch out for is the census.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely. I'm glad you got that experience and you could share it, because the census is incredibly important for so many reasons. And I think people don't fully understand that, but that impacts even economics of an area, how, you know, when it comes to federal dollars and voting, and like, there's just so many things impacted by that. So it's great that a lot of people got out there for that. And what about volunteers? Do they talk about volunteers they need still for the census? Do they still have a need for volunteers to help with that, or workers?
You know, they're for the most part they're still hiring. You can go to the 2020census.com/jobs and they still have jobs that they're hiring all throughout the nation. It's a good way to learn about your community. Really, I've never done it before, but I plan on doing it this year. If God gives me the opportunity to work for the Census Bureau, I plan to do that with honor and discretion. But they're looking for other groups throughout El Paso to host these sessions. They want to do a couple more. The head of the Census Department was really proud of El Paso. He said he's never been here. He says we have great tacos. He was just a little sad. It was 106 when he got here, but he plans to come back. You know, he was really excited with the Tejano culture we have here and the Latinx community.
Well, that's nice. Yeah, that's really nice. And it's great to see people not so divided against party lines, that could come together and make that event happen for the good of the community. So I'm really excited to hear about that. Let me ask you, so with that, and we keep going back to young people and volunteering and young people. So today I want to talk a little bit about younger people. Younger people, for me, that's 30 and below. Our teenagers all the way up to probably the young professionals. But, you know, we often do hear, and I just said it 5 minutes ago, that they're not as engaged as people would like to see them. That sometimes, you know, they because of these smartphone devices that they're addicted to. They get caught up in that and forget about being selfless. But the truth of the matter is that age group has so much energy and so many ideas that they have a lot to bring to the table for almost any project that a person could think of. You know, just any project could benefit greatly from that. And I know there's a lot of myths, you know, starting with the fact that, well, they don't have volunteer experience, so they're not going to know how to do that. They can't go out on that Texas ramp build and make it happen. And, you know, but that's just not true, because we can train people. But what, from your perspective, what are some things that we as a community can do to engage that age segment, that demographic, into hands-on volunteering, giving of their time, to make our community a better place?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And I think that there really are a couple people that somehow magically hit that nail right on the head. You know, Better O'Rourke had a lot of young people helping his campaign. I don't know how he did it, to be honest. I don't really talk to Better O'Rourke. But I think really the biggest thing is just getting people to come out to vote. Having a one of the things I said yesterday with the census is we should really try to get these done have big events, you know, like at Walmart, for example, where people will at least learn about the census. But I think the crucifix of it all is just having events that young people want to go to. I know it's hard sometimes because a lot of young people, believe it or not, they're scared of the pressure. They're scared to come out of the shadows. Some people might not be able to articulate their thoughts very well. But the good thing with young people is we're always learning. The same thing with the older generations. We're everyone's always learning. And so to target the younger people, I think we have to have apps. We have to have a very good online presence. You know, young people are typically on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. And we have to give them really an incentive to come out. You know, it was funny yesterday. A lot of people were joking around. You know, if you want to do the census, you got to have, you know, something free, you know, a free beer, a free taco here in El Paso. And a lot of people thought that was funny, but you know, it's really true. You got to incentivize people to really come out and do their part. I know it's not really cost effective to a lot of people or a lot of organizations like mine. Personally, we couldn't afford to give a lot of people free things, because we're just a startup. We don't have a whole lot of money, but hopefully we'll get there eventually. But that's really the thing is you got to make it incentive for people to come out and enjoy their community. I mean, I think a lot of young people like El Paso. They like wherever they're living, and they want to do their best to be agents of change. But we have to have the job market. We have to have the skill sets that young people are graduating college with. I mean, that's where we got to start from there.
That's absolutely true. And engage them at all times, not just because, oh, okay, well, you need this credit for school. You need this to graduate or whatnot. One of the things I do with my employees, service is mandatory. It's part of your employment contract with me. But I remember, and this has been 7 or 8 years, the first time I did it, I had a lady working for me. And I told her, okay, so I need you to figure out where you want to give in the community, because on Friday, that's your place of duty. That's where you go. And she said, What? You're going to pay me to go? And I said, yes, of course. It's that important. Like, we all need to have hands in our community. And I know that's not feasible for everybody, but for me, that was a cost-effective way to do it. I could cover down in the office while my employees go out. I bring them to other opportunities. You know, some of my people that work with me that aren't scouts, I bring them to scouting volunteer opportunities, or I bring them to some of the Rotary opportunities or whatnot, and I expose them to different opportunities they may not have had to try to spark that interest. Because just like you said, interestingly, the incentive of living in a nicer, cleaner, safer city, that's not always incentive for people to come out and volunteer. I actually just had this talk with somebody about, well, cleaning up their neighborhood and doing some things. And she said, well, that doesn't bother me. That there's trash. Did I tell you that it bothers me? I don't care about that. So my argument of, well, let's make it look pretty and nice and clean, that wasn't a good incentive. But on the flip side, once I said, well, you know, there's free lunch and I think there's free t-shirts, that was encouragement. Well, okay, because I get something free. But once they actually went, they forgot about that free t-shirt and lunch. They were actually excited to be there. So, you know, we just had to figure out what that hook is, what that draw is. And the other thing you hit on that's really great about having an internet presence, like a social media presence and a good website, because quite frankly, people my age and older, sometimes, you know, we push that on the back burner. We don't think it's important. Because back in my day, proverbially, you know, we just, if somebody told us to go volunteer, that's what we would do. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. We have to figure out how to engage these teens and young adults. And I think your idea of events, that's amazing too. I've actually been trying to figure out how to put together an exciting voters drive. So maybe that's something you and I could work on together, a voters registration drive.
Yeah, absolutely.
To get as many people registered as we can. Yeah, I would really like to see that happen. And I might be in that window where I have to take the training again. I hope it's not expired. I don't know. We'll go see, but we'll get it together. So if you're listening and you're in El Paso, Texas, please know that's coming. We're working on some exciting things to engage voters. Because at the end of the day, your vote is one of the most effective ways to shape your community, to say how it looks and, you know, what's there and what things matter and what things get money and what things don't. But people lose sight of that too. I was just on a trip in Dallas this week with some of my students from my church. I work with some high school students at church. And I was flabbergasted and floored by some of the things the kids were sharing with me that they really believed while we were on this trip. You know, and some of them truly believe that their vote doesn't actually matter. One girl told me, you know, as long as she does volunteer sometimes, her vote, it doesn't matter because she's shaping her world by volunteering. And I was mortified to hear that because I don't think that could be further from the truth. But I don't know. Do you think other people feel that way? What is your perception? What do you think young people are thinking when it comes to that?
Well, you know, I think that's true. A lot of young people and even a lot of people in the older generation do feel that their vote doesn't count. Unfortunately, a lot of us have voted for people, you know, in the past, whether it be Hillary Clinton or Rick Sieberger or Ida Gardner or Andrew Hagerty, that all lost an election. You know, a lot of us worked very hard to campaign for those people. A lot of us went out and we got our friends to vote and we lose. And it's not that, you know, I like to tell people, you know, whether your candidate wins or loses at the end of the day, your vote still counts. Believe it or not, you voted your conscience, and that vote, in essence, eliminated a vote from the other side. And that's how what I really try to get people to understand. When you vote, and it's always funny, I always use an older couple as an example. I said, you know, you have one person in the marriage who's ultra left, and you have another one that's ultra right. And you always hear these people say, well, I'm going to go vote so I can cancel out my wife's vote, or I'm going to go vote so I can cancel out my husband's vote. So absolutely, everybody's vote matters. But the key to really making, I mean, in El Paso, and it's really sad, you know, we have a really low voter turnout, a lot of voter apathy. So in El Paso, I like to tell people your vote really does matter. Because in El Paso, with our low voter turnout, you're not just voting for yourself. And in essence, you're voting for your entire community. Because when you don't get 1% of your precinct out to vote, then you're voting for your entire precinct. So that's how we get stuck with things that a lot of people don't necessarily agree with. You know, the school board bonds that raise taxes, the local bonds that raise taxes, tax increases, the arena. That's how we got stuck with a lot of that stuff. And it's not... Mm-hmm. And I always hate to tell people this, but it's not the city's job to get you out to vote. It's really the person's job, and it's social groups, you know, like the Rotary, the Women Voters, and a couple other organizations. It's really their job to get people out to vote. But it in essence, it's, you know, it's like when you go get your driver's license. You know, you can have a driver's license and not drive, or you can have a car and a driver's license and not drive. But there has to be a way for people to understand, you know, if you have a driver's license and you have a car and you got to go to work, you know, yeah, walking might be a little more healthy for you, but if you live 12 miles away from your workplace, you have to get in that car and operate that car to get to work. And I tell people that voting, in essence, is a job. We have to we have to vote.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We leave too much to chance when we don't vote. So I think for me personally, that's going to be one of my personal issues, one of my passions this next 16 months leading up into the election, and even beyond that, is to work with people to educate them about voting and to get them registered. And I'm sure you run into this too, but I run into a lot of people that honestly don't even understand the voting process. They don't know the difference between a primary and a general election. They don't really understand that, oh, no, I don't have to vote straight ticket if I say I'm a certain party or, you know, and there's just so much misinformation. I'd really like to have, you know, to coordinate some education for the community at large and just mass continual voter registration. You know,
no,
you had a good idea about, like, booking
too.
A Walmart.
I mean, the good thing is the new machines. The new machines, in my opinion, are a lot easier to use. There's no more straight ticket voting, which means you can, at least in the general, I really pray hard. There's an organization called Unite the Vote. They're working on making it so there is no more open, no more closed primaries, which I wholeheartedly support. I think that in the primary, you should be able to vote Democrat and Republican, because there is good candidates on both sides. And unfortunately, with the closed primaries, you just can't do that. A lot of good candidates get swamped out.
And that's so interesting you say that because, you know, I've voted many more years than you have, but I often think that at primary time, you know what, I'm voting over here in this primary, but there's that one or two candidates in that other primary. I sure wish I could have supported them. And so like you, I guess I do lean toward the open primary to a degree. What I don't want, though, is, you know, to play devil's advocate, those people who vote a certain way just to cause detriment to the other side because they're so blinded by party politics. But statistically, they say that shouldn't be a thing. So I don't know. So we'll sit back and see what comes of that. So, you know, so I'm looking at the clock. So we got to get ready to get off of here. But this is really great talking to you because voting and volunteerism are two of the surefire ways to shape a community and to just kind of, you know, to energize a community and to bring quality of life to a community. If you don't have those things in a community, well, you don't have much. It doesn't matter how much money is pumped into that community or how many jobs come when you don't have people that are vested in the community. And I think Los Angeles is a great example of this. So many transient people from across the country come, and I'm to a degree I'm one of them, but I am very vested in Los Angeles. But people come, you know, to do a job or make some money or whatever. They don't care if it's dirty. They don't care to vote. They just don't care about a lot of things, and then they go back home. So if we're not volunteering and we're not voting, you know, we see some of the stuff that crops up in Los Angeles. So I hope everybody gives a little more thought to their voting habits and their volunteer habits. And we're definitely going to do a show sometime soon on the volunteerism, but I absolutely look forward to coordinating some kind of voters education drive or something with you, Wesley. We'll have to plan that soon. We'll plan that. I'll get with you offline and we'll plan that. You know what? I have one person on my chat that's asking me, do you, Save El Paso, have any volunteer activity scheduled in the next month or so?
You know, as of right now, we don't. However, I'm working with another organization, and we're going to start having candidate meet and greet, which will be great. For one of them, for Carlos Carrillo, one for Sam Williams, one for Sam Morgan, one for Alexandra Anello, even the mayor, DeMargo. A lot of people are mad that I'm friends with DeMargo. I think he's a phenomenal mayor. I just think more people need to meet him. And then also, I plan on having an event very soon, as soon as the city council votes on it, but we're going to be having a bond come up in the 2020 election. It'll be a plank bond, so we'll be voting piece by piece. I do support this bond because ultimately the mayor before us did not put streets and maintenance inside of a budget. So now this city council and the mayor have had to work tremendously hard these past 3.5 years to really fund our streets and maintenance. You know, a lot of people have potholes. So I think that this bond will be very important. It'll help our police and fire, our animal services. And I think it's better than raising taxes. You know, we just can't survive that anymore. We have a lot of old people that are unfairly being taxed out of their houses. So if it's through a bond, I know a lot of people don't like it because we're borrowing money, but I think it's the best way to do it. Otherwise, we're going to have to raise taxes more than 4 cents, probably about a dollar would be my best guess to be able to afford to keep our city alive.
And the West Coast has shown us that's not a good option. We can't just keep spiking the taxes like that. Absolutely. So, yeah, some changes have to come. Things are definitely going to change. I hope to be a part of that change. And, you know, I take great joy in watching many of the changes that you are making, Wesley. You put in a lot of hard work. And so I thank you for that on behalf of somebody who hopes that her grandchildren and great-grandchildren one day when they get here can live in a great environment. I thank you most sincerely. But tumbling to the clock, so we've got to run. So, again, thank you, Wesley, so much for joining us today. And I'm going to leave my listeners with Things Change by Dwight Yoakam.